everybody. Thank you for coming and being a part of our 2018 Vacation Bible School. Our theme this year is what? Jesus, name above all names. What scripture do we find that in? You think Philippians? Just know it. Yeah, Philippians 2, verse 9, right? There's our main verse. There's our memory verse. Can you say it with me? Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name. Right? Okay, so Monday, do a little review time. What do we study about on Monday? Jesus, name above all names on Monday. Jesus, you weren't even here and you know. All right, what? Jesus, the Lamb of God. And what was our key word for that day, Ari? Sacrifice. Good, sacrifice, because as the Lamb of God, He came to be our sacrifice for sin, right? And what kind of lamb was He? He had to be what kind of lamb? Perfect, sinless, right? No blemish. And that was Jesus. Yesterday, Tuesday, what did we study about? You remember, Abby? That's right, Jesus the Good Shepherd. And so there in John chapter 10 and verse 11, Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd. And what does the Good Shepherd do? Yeah, He lays down His life for His sheep, right? And what was our key word yesterday? Gage? That's right, good. Follow. Because as sheep are to follow the shepherd, we are to follow Jesus. And how do we do that? How do we follow Jesus? Yeah, do what the Bible says. Do what Jesus says, right? Which is in the Bible. So listen to Him and do what He says. Very good. All right. And so today, our theme is, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. John 8 and verse 12. And before we get into that lesson any further, about to forget again, forgot yesterday. Y'all don't let me forget the rest of the week. But we want to sing Jesus' name above all names. That's in your big book right in front of you. Okay? And that's number 199. And your silly teacher forgot yesterday. But I'll try not to the rest of the week because we have to sing this song. It has the very title as our theme, right? So 199. Okay. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word, Jesus, Lord God Almighty, Wonderful Counselor, Light of the World, the Prince of Peace, Hope of Glory, Man of Sorrows, Lamb of God. All right, beautiful hymn, isn't it? Okay, so in your Bibles and up on the screen, some of the scriptures we'll have up there, some of them we will not. But John chapter 8 and verse 12 is one of our key verses. And our key word for today is influence. Jesus is the light of the world. Influence. Of course, we're going to talk later in our class, Bible class, this morning about how we are to also be, right, a light to the world. So influence. What does influence mean? What do we mean by that? And you bigger kids, tell me what influence is. Okay. Even some of our more younger ones. Bree, what does influence mean? When you do something, I'm sorry, what? Okay. Well, you did good because you hit both sides. When we say influence, doesn't always mean it's a good thing, right? Now, when we're talking about Jesus, it's always a good thing. Jesus, I am the light of the world, and his light in this world, his influence is always good, right? But there's those who have an influence and have an influence upon us that's not good, right? It's bad. And so that's why the Bible tells us we have to be very careful who we hang out with, spend time with, who our friends are, right? And so what else did you say about influence? It can be what now?
Teaching.
It could be teaching someone, right? That's one way you can influence them. Someone doesn't know the gospel. You know what the Bible teaches. You share it with them. What are you being? You're being a good influence. Colton, did you think of something else? To persuade? Sure. If you're influencing someone, you're persuading them. Again, are we persuading them in something that's good or something that's not good, right? Okay. Chloe, do you have anything different? Not really? Okay. You know, someone we studied here recently in a sermon was Barnabas. And you remember what Barnabas was known for? Why was he given that name? His name was Joseph, but he was given the name Barnabas by the apostles. And what did Barnabas mean? You remember? That's right. Son of encouragement. So did Barnabas have a very good influence on others? Sure. So much so, the apostles gave him a different name because he was such an encouraging person. So we do have an influence, by the way, on those around us. The question is, do we have a good or bad influence? But when I think about, and there's other things that come to my mind and probably yours too, if we come up with different key words for our lesson today. But this is the one I settled on to go with. When we think of Jesus as the light of the world, you think about the influence that our Lord has upon this world and our own lives. Why we're here today is because of his influence, right? And what he's done in his life, his example. Those things we'll be talking about. But John 8:12, this is what it says. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. And no surprise, when we come to the Bible and begin to read about Jesus being a light in this world, oftentimes we have that contrasted with what other word? Darkness, right? We think of that light and darkness. And so Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. And so you're all filling out your sheets. Does everybody have a sheet, young people? Okay. Does Samuel need one? Or does he have it? Okay. So the key word you have down, influence, and then did you fill in the blanks? So what goes in the first blank? I am the what? Light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. And of course, that goes back to our key word yesterday, right? With him being the good shepherd, we're the sheep, we're to follow him. Again, that's emphasized with Jesus being the light of the world. We also find it here in John chapter 9 and verse 5. Jesus said there, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, what is pictured? What's on this slide? What do you see there? What is that? That's called a lighthouse, isn't it? And what's the purpose of a lighthouse? Can someone tell me what the purpose of a lighthouse is? Joseph? Okay. To lead the boats out in the water, out in the lake, ocean, to shore. Okay. What do you think, Bree? To shine it. The boats, those coming in, can see that light and avoid a dangerous area, rocks, right? And that is one of the key purposes of a lighthouse, by the way. A lighthouse, of course, is a tower with a light at the top, as you see, it's used to help with ocean navigation and to warn sailors of hazards. So navigation, they use it for navigation, those captains of their ship, but also to avoid hazardous areas. So a lighthouse is crucial, right? So important. As those out in the ocean, and the captain is always looking for, where's that lighthouse? Because it gets very dark out in the sea, right? At night. And then that gives them hope. A lot of ships have avoided danger and destruction because of a lighthouse, and others have perished because they didn't see the lighthouse, okay? So the lighthouse is very important, that light that shines, okay? And then we find in John chapter 12 and verse 46, once again, Jesus identifying himself as the light of the world. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide or remain in darkness. Right? So men are in darkness, but Jesus came into the world to be that light, so we don't remain there. We don't stay there. We come out of that. And there's a lot of scriptures, of course, that talk about coming out of darkness when we come to the light that the Lord provides. Okay. Now, if you go in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 4, please. Matthew chapter 4. We've seen this the previous 2 days with Jesus being the Lamb of God and Jesus being the Good Shepherd, that we go back to the Old Testament and we see that these things were prophesied about Jesus, that he would be a Lamb of God, that he would be the Shepherd, right? But we also see that here with him being a light, it was prophesied in the Old Testament. So here in Matthew 4 records a prophecy, okay? And this is one of the answers, your next fill in the blank that you need to have. But Matthew 4, I want to look at the larger context, and then I'll put some of the key words up on the screens. But in Matthew 4, if you'll begin reading with me in verse number 12, okay? Matthew 4, verse 12. Now, when Jesus heard that John, of course, this is John the Baptizer, had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali. Notice that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. You're all listening? You're going to need to fill in an answer there. Saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. Now that's beautiful, isn't it? That's a beautiful prophecy fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus is described in verse 16 as being what? A great light. Those who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned. There's hope. There's hope. Light has dawned. And that light that has dawned, again, is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to keep some of these passages we're going through in your minds, and even this one here, as it also mentions the darkness and people sitting in darkness. We'll get to a question. You have it on your sheet, but a little bit later, what's that referring to, this darkness? Okay, so keep that in mind. All right. Now, I stopped at 16, but the very next verse says what happened from that point on. Verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to what? To preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And near the end of this chapter, where is he at? He's in the synagogues preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Then we read in chapters 5, 6, and 7 about what, grown-ups? What's it called? The Sermon on the Mount. So all that's connected to this prophecy, though, if he's that great light and the light that has dawned, what does he do right after this prophecy is quoted? He begins his public ministry. He begins to preach. He begins to call those sinners in darkness to repent, preaches the gospel of the kingdom, preaches the Sermon on the Mount. By doing so, what is he doing? He's calling men and women out of that darkness, right? Okay, and that's going to be one of the answers later, so keep that in mind. I'm giving you some hints, young people. All right, Jesus, the light of the world. We see it in some other places. Luke chapter 2. Do you all remember? I know some of you do. An older man named Simeon, a godly man. And the Lord had told him before he died, he would see the Christ. Okay? So, he probably doesn't have long to live, but God kept his promise, of course. And here comes Mary and Joseph at the dedication of Jesus at the temple in Jerusalem. And when Simeon sees him, he takes the child Jesus up into his arms and says a number of wondrous things. But one of the things Simeon says about this child Jesus, that he is a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And so you see, Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, and that the guidance of the Holy Spirit, was able to see beyond. He's not just coming to the Jewish people. He is a light to also bring revelation to the other nations, to the other peoples outside of Israel, to the Gentiles. Okay? And so this was a very important event that took place. And then notice how John begins his gospel. A lot of emphasis on Jesus being a light. So in John 1 and verse 4, in him was life, and the life was, notice, the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And then in verse 9, that was the true light, which gives light to who? To every man coming into the world. And so every time a new child is born, a new baby, Jesus is there shining to give light to every man coming into the world. And we'll talk about how he does that, okay? Because we come into a world of darkness, right? We come into a world of darkness, but thankfully, here's the true light who gives light to every man coming into the world. All right. Thoughts or comments from either side here? Okay. So, I want us to think about this darkness, and I said I was going to come back to. What does this darkness represent? Now, on your question sheet, young people, you have that, right? What does the darkness represent? And I'm going to emphasize three things in particular, but let me hear what you have to say first. Okay, Ari? Okay, evil, right? Think about darkness, evil. That's a good answer. Jesse? Sin? Frank? Death? Sure. Jody? The devil. I mean, if anyone epitomizes, represents darkness, it's the devil, right? Okay, good. Bree? Sorry? Hades? Okay, that ties to what Frank said, because Hades is the realm of the dead, departed spirits of death. Blindness? Yeah, that's good. Because, you know, the Bible speaks of blindness in different ways, at least two ways. There is the physical blindness, right, that we read of Jesus healing people that were blind, physically blind, could not see. And so if you cannot see, everything's dark, right? Can't see anything. And then there's the spiritual blindness, right? People can't see, at least presently, the truth. And we're surrounded by, sadly, people who are spiritually blinded to the truth that would set them free, right? So here are the three things I want to emphasize with you. Sin and wickedness. Ignorance. Lack of knowledge is what we mean by that. And thirdly, false religions or error. All these things, and a lot of things you all said, very good, represent darkness. Now, if you go with me in your Bibles to John chapter 3, John chapter 3, very important text on this matter of darkness. John 3. Okay, so 19 through 21. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. And of course, who's the light that's come into the world? That's Jesus, right? So this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were what? Let's go back to the first word Ari gave us for our answer. Evil. Evil. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Verse 20. For everyone practicing evil, what does he do? Y'all there with me in your Bibles? What's verse 20 say? For everyone practicing evil, what? Hates the light. Thank you, Dryson. And does not come to the light. Why? Lest his deeds, which are evil, should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. So Jesus tells us right here, what darkness oftentimes represents is that which is evil, that which is sinful, that which is wicked. And of course, so many people in the world, that's them. But then again, if we think back to yesterday, the Bible says all we like sheep have what? Gone astray. So we've all sinned. We've all been in that darkness, and those of us who are Christians have come out of that darkness, and we have to fight against that darkness every day by putting on the armor of light, right? Okay? But we're surrounded and live in a world of sin and wickedness, and people are in darkness. But a lot of people do not want to what? They don't want to come to the light. They don't want to change. They want to stay right where they're at. Some of the members here will remember when I came back from a somewhat recent trip, brief trip to Florida, and the fellow I was speaking to at the airport in Orlando, that his dad's a preacher, his grandfather is a preacher, and I don't mean in the Church of Christ, but he has religion in him. He has some knowledge of the Bible, and he just told me he knows where he's going if he were to die. He said, I'd go to hell because he knows I'm living a wicked life. But he didn't want to change. He didn't want to change. And he started talking about things he enjoys, which are sinful. And he was just being honest. He was just being honest. And he didn't want to be a hypocrite, so he realized that. And he wasn't ready to change. He loved what? He loved the darkness. And so he's going to stay in the darkness. But he knew about the light. He knew what God's Word taught about those things that he was doing and enjoying. Okay? And so we're trying to, of course, reach people who are in darkness, but when they don't want to leave the darkness, they're not going to come to light, are they? No matter what we say, no matter what we show them in the Scripture, even if they can see it, right? That's why I think one of the most difficult commands of God, most challenging, is the command to repent. Because repentance demands what? Change. Got to change. Got to give up things. Can't keep living this way. Can't keep going that direction. I got to head in this direction now. And a lot of people don't want to do that. So they stay in the darkness. There in Acts 26. If you'll go over there with me, please. Acts 26. Joseph. Do you have that? Acts 26. Can you come up to the front, please? Acts 26. Any of you other young men willing to read a scripture? If you are, raise your hand. I volunteered Joseph. Joseph, come up here, please. Use this mic so people can hear you. Make sure it's at the height you need. You see it? Acts 26, 17 through 20.
I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works benefiting repentance.
Okay, thank you, Joseph. So look back at verse 18. Paul was sent by the Lord to preach the gospel to Jews and particularly the Gentiles in order to what? He says to what? To open their eyes. Remember what we said earlier, Benjamin, you said it. And I said, what do you think darkness represents? You said blindness. And I said, that's right. The Bible sometimes speaks of blindness physically, but in this case, how's it being used? Spiritually. Their eyes need to be opened to the truth. And the light of preaching the gospel will do that unto men. And so as he continues speaking to King Agrippa, Paul here, and there in verse 20, he's preaching to these people and to the Gentiles that they should what? That they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. In other words, to come out of the darkness, to walk in the light and practice the truth in the light, right? Okay? And then in Romans, let's skip Romans 13 so we can get everything else in. Let's go to point number two, ignorance and a lack of knowledge. John 1:5, we already had on the screen, and I'll put it back real quick so you can see it. Here's John 1:5 up on the screen. And the light shines in the darkness, and notice, and the darkness did not what? Did not comprehend it. It wasn't that they couldn't comprehend what we're talking about, understand it. They didn't understand it. By that, it doesn't mean we can't understand God's Word, right? We can understand God's Word. Maybe we need someone to teach us that already understands it, but we can all understand it. And so it's not that they could not understand it. They were hard-hearted. They were not willing to. Remember, we talked about being blinded spiritually. Okay, so go back to our second point here. Ignorance, lack of knowledge. Go to John 12:35, if you will. Timothy, do you have something to say? That's right, like the Ethiopian eunuch. It wasn't that he couldn't comprehend. He needed someone to what? Guide him, teach him. That's exactly right. Good example. All right, so John 12:35. You see that? Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. While you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness, what? Does not know where he is going. Young people, have you ever been in a really dark place and you couldn't really see anything? Kind of unsettling, right? Maybe a little scary. If it's just completely dark. You know what I think the darkest room in this building is? The men's restroom. Not that I'm saying go in there, young ladies, but there's no windows in there. And yeah, I've been in there before when someone came and just turned off the light. Everybody's in there. It's completely pitch black. Have any of you ever been down in a cave before? Have you gone down in a cave? Have you gone down in a cave where it was really, really dark too? Okay. And I've told this story lots of times, but growing up in Kentucky, Mammoth Cave, and Donna, I'm sure, has gone there, right? You've been to Mammoth Cave? A few times probably. And Deborah, I know, and some others have been to Mammoth Cave, but Mammoth, large, right? But when I was a kid, went down in there. When I was a kid, your old age, went down in there, and they turned off all the lights, and it was just pitch black. Couldn't see anything. I waved my hand right in front of my face. Couldn't see my fingers. And then the tour guide lit a match. You know how much light that little match gave off in such a pitch black, dark place? A lot. And then you could see, and you kind of felt better, right? It felt a little unsettling when you can't see anything. Well, that's what Jesus is talking about here. In John 12:35, he who walks in darkness, he doesn't know where he's going. Why? He can't see, right? He's walking in darkness. What does he need? He needs to come to the light, right? Okay. Acts 3, if you go there with me. Acts 3. This is Peter's second sermon. Do I have any other readers in the audience, young men? Any other readers? Dryson's a reader. And Drocklin's a reader. Drocklin, come on up. I mean, maybe your mother sitting behind you was volunteering you. Maybe. I don't know. Acts 3, come on up. And use that mic, please, and put it where you need to for your mouth. 17 through 19. Yes, sir, 17 through 19.
Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord.
Read 17 again for me. What does that say?
Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers.
Oh, they did it in what? You see that word up there? They did it in ignorance, as did your rulers. And when he says ignorance, he doesn't mean you're dumb. Okay? Ignorance here doesn't mean dumb. That you can't understand. They didn't have the truth pieced together because they had, you remember the Jews, they had the Old Testament. That's what they studied. That's the scriptures they had. They had the whole Old Testament. They had all the prophecies, but they didn't understand the prophecies about Christ and his kingdom. Okay? And so when Jesus came, and they didn't understand, this is the Savior, this is the Son of God, this is the Christ. No, they crucified him, but they did it in ignorance. There was a lack of knowledge and understanding, so there was a what? There was a darkness then. Okay? And Drocklin, thank you for doing that, but you're not supposed to dress nicer than the preacher, teacher, teacher. Okay? Just keep that in mind. No, looking sharp, looking sharp. Okay. Romans 10, that's another important one. Romans 10. And by the way, remember what Peter went on to say in verse 19? The ignorance was not excused. And it's like, well, it's okay that you killed the Prince of Life. No, he says what in verse 19? Repent. Repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Ignorance is not an excuse, okay? It just means you don't know, but you need to know and have to know in order to be saved. You've got to come out of that darkness. And so Romans 10, 1 through 3. Any other scripture readers? Okay, I guess it's me. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness, notice they have the zeal for God, but not according to what? Not according to knowledge. For they being, there's our word, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. So that kind of ties in to number 3, right? Because you have religious people here. He's talking about the Jewish people. They have a zeal for God. You know what zeal means? If you have a zeal about something, Brie, you really want it? Sorry? Any of you kids have a zeal for Legos? Oh, yeah, Jeremiah. Video games? Okay. Girls. What should I say for girls? Dolls, makeup, dress up. I don't know. I do have 2 girls, though. Anyways, there's an enthusiasm. You get excited about certain things. You girls didn't get excited when I mentioned those other things, but there's things that you get excited about and you enjoy, just like these boys get excited about certain things, right? Well, these Jews that Paul's speaking of, they got excited about worshiping God. They have a zeal for God, he says, but it's not according to knowledge. They didn't have the knowledge of what? The truth. And they're ignorant, he says, of God's righteousness. And so since they're ignorant of God's righteousness, what do? What does Paul say? They seek to establish their own righteousness, right? Okay? And that leads people into false religions, into error, because they stray from what God's Word says. They're still religious. They still praise God, and in their hearts they feel like they love God, but they don't know the truth, so they're still walking in what? Darkness, right? Okay? And then this last one, false religions and error. They're in Matthew 15. Let's go there real quick. Matthew 15, 7 through 9. Jesus says to the scribes and Pharisees, he calls them hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And notice, and in vain they worship me. Something's in vain, it's what? It's useless, it's pointless. There's nothing being accomplished. So they're worshiping God, but it's not accomplishing anything. Why? Because they are teaching as doctrines what? Does your Bible say the commandments of God? No, they're teaching as doctrines the what? Say it. The commandments of men. So whose teachings are they following? They're not following God's teachings and His Word. They're following the teachings of men. And notice then later in verse 14, Jesus just says, let them alone to His disciples. They are what? Blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind follow the blind, they're going to what? Both fall into the ditch. And there He's not talking about physical blindness. He's talking about their spiritual blindness, right? 2 Corinthians 3. Go there real quick, please. 2 Corinthians 3. I was talking to April last night, finishing putting this lesson together, and I was like, well, I'm wondering if I have enough material for the class or enough for two classes. I'm thinking two classes now. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 14 through 16. But their minds were what? Blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You know who Paul's talking about here? He's talking about the Jews who are still following the law of Moses, and they haven't come to Christ in obedience to the gospel of Christ. And so they keep reading the law of Moses. They keep practicing the things of the law of Moses and following after that. And when they do that, they're blinded to the truth. But when they come to Christ, when they come to the gospel, that veil of darkness is lifted. A lot of people today are going back to things in the Old Testament. Do you know that? You know where instrumental music is commanded at? It's commanded in the Old Testament, law of Moses, not in the New Testament. You know where tithing, people who give 10%, churches still teach that. That's one of the things commanded in the law of Moses, not in the New Testament. We're commanded to give, but not that tithing, not that 10%. And there's those who burn incense and have so-called priests. You know where that's at? That's in the Old Testament. That's not in the New Testament. And so a lot of things people do today in their worship come from this old law, and they need to come to the light. Galatians 3:1, Paul said to the churches of Galatia, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? You know what had happened? False teachers came into those churches teaching that they had to be circumcised, that they had to follow the law of Moses. What happened to the law of Moses? Do you know what happened to that law? Anybody know? It was nailed to the cross. When Christ died, it was done away with, and now we're under the New Testament, His law, right? But just like then, a lot of people want to go back to that. And of course, there's so much religious error in the world, sadly, because people are not following God's word. They're following men's teachings. And when they do that, they're walking in what? Darkness and not the light. Okay. Now, Jesus is the light of the world. How is Jesus the light of the world? Think about that. Is that one of your questions? Some of you have that on your sheet? Jody? Say again. By guiding us out of the darkness. How does He guide us out of the darkness? Bree? Well, what do you want to say? I'll come back to what she said in a second. Sorry? He has no sin. Right, Ben? Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, let's not go back to the men's bathroom illustration right now. We've got to pick it up. All right. Number one, His perfect life and His perfect example. Okay? He's the light of the world. Wasn't Jesus perfect? We go back to the first lesson, Lamb of God. He was sinless. And so everything He said, everything He did is perfect. And so when we study Jesus' life, and follow that, what are we going to be doing? We're going to be walking in the light. In fact, Peter says we're to walk in His steps, right? His example. His teaching. This goes back to what Jody was saying. Okay? His teaching. Psalm 119, 105. How's the Word of God described there? It's a what? To our... It's a light to our... A lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, right? Lamp, light. What is? The Word of God is. And so what Jesus taught, His teachings, His gospel is a light for us. Look real quick at 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. I don't really have time for this, but I need to make time for it. So 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 6. You may not be there. I'm going to start reading, though. But even if our gospel is veiled, covered, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the what? The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, excellent scripture on this point that I couldn't just not include, that speaks of how the gospel of light and how it shines in men's lives. Thirdly, his servanthood. How is he a light into this world? When you study the life of Jesus, he came into this world, he said, not to be served, but to serve. He was always teaching his disciples, you need to be humble. You need to serve one another. You need to serve others. And in fact, the night he was betrayed and arrested, what was he doing after supper? He arose and what? He washed the disciples' feet. Even Judas Iscariot, even Peter, who would deny him, all of them who would forsake him and flee, he washed their feet. And when he got done, he says, do you know what I've done to you? If I, your teacher, Lord, and Master, have washed your feet, you should do so unto one another. You should serve one another. And so that's another way he's a light unto us, and his love. We look to Jesus, we look to his love. And in John 13, 34 and 35, what did he say? A new commandment I give you, that you should love one another how? As I have loved you. And how did Jesus love them? He gave his life for them. And we're told to give our lives for our brethren. We're to love our neighbor, as it says. We're to love our enemies, Jesus taught us. We are to, of course, love our brethren, and most of all, love God. And if we love God, we'll take care of all the other areas of love, won't we? Okay, so those are four ways that we could obviously do a whole sermon on, but we're just highlighting them this morning. But you know what else? Jesus is the light of the world, but Christians are called what? Matthew 5:14, Jesus says to those who'd be in his kingdom, you are the light of the world, right? You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, or as probably your Bible, my Bible says, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You see that little, right? You see it up on the hill. It cannot be hidden. It's visible. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a basket, or a bowl in this case, but they instead put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so what's your one of your last questions? How can we be lights? How can we be lights? Teach others the gospel. Good, Colton. Be that influence, that godly influence in the lives of others. Breathe. Bring people to services, to Bible class, to hear sermons, right? Good. Anyone else? How we can be an influence? Be a light? What did Jesus say there in verse 16? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? See your good works and not glorify us, but glorify your Father who is in heaven. We want to point people to God. We want to point people to Christ and to the gospel, right? Not to me, not to you, but good works. It's how we live. It's how you talk differently from those in the world. If you tell a lie, is that light or darkness? If you tell a lie, if you lie to your parents, is that light or darkness? That's darkness. If you steal, is that light or darkness? If you're kind, is that light or darkness? That's light. If you forgive, is that light or darkness? See, and you just go on and on, but good works. We have to have good works in our lives if we're going to shine brightly. And then finally, as we wrap it up, having light in a world of darkness, and that's what we live in. Paul said in Philippians 2:15, there's your last one, some of you young people on your sheet, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Notice, among whom you shine as lights in the world. All right, say the memory verse with me. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. All right. Great job. Have a brief break. Young men, if you could help me pass out the psalm book.